He's already on it. We are blessed with some incredible musicians here at our church. Incredible godly people that just work and serve the Lord. And our tech guy back there, which I'm partial to him. But a good sound man can make all the difference in the world. And I'm thankful that we have people that are willing to work. And I'm thankful for the little things that we often overlook. Tonight may start a series. I don't know. We'll see exactly what the Lord would have. But in 2 Kings chapter 5, most of you know this story or have heard this story at some point in your life. We're just going to read about 14 verses tonight, and then I won't keep you too long. I promise you that. I had mentioned earlier Brother Terry and his wife Vicky, and mentioned to you about Vicky. Brother Terry preached my ordination service when back in 2005, 20 years ago, a long time ago, amen. In January, it might have been, I'll have to look at my ordination paper, it might have been the first Sunday of January that I've been ordained. And I thank the Lord for those men who have, that wrote their name and entrusted me to carry this gospel message. And I don't deserve that, but I'm thankful for them. All right, 2 Kings chapter number 5. Very sorry. This stuff just don't want to go away. Many of you dealing with it too. The Bible says, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable because of him by the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, Thus and thus said the maid, that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Albana and Farfar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Heavenly Father, would you bless the reading of your word? Use tonight to help your people. Help me, Father, to convey to you what I've to your people what I've studied. Help me to understand and to see. And God, just give me what I stand in need of. Father, forgive me of my many sins, me shortcomings where I failed you. Let me be pure and holy before you as I preach to your people tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In chapter number 5, first let me say this. In 1 and 2 Kings, there are a lot of people that do not know this. 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles are the books that record the kings of Israel and what they did. Now, 1 and 2 Samuel was primarily dedicated to Saul and to David and their kingdoms and their kingships, I guess you could say. But once you get past David and past Solomon, then we open up into all of the kings, both of the kingdom of Israel, which you, if you guys remember, after Solomon, Jeroboam and Rehoboam, the kingdom split. 10 of them went with Israel, 2 of them went with Judah, and you had Judah and Benjamin, and then you had the other 10 tribes that were the kingdom of Israel, and that was the kingdom of Judah. So in those books of the Bible, you have the stories or the highlights, if you will, of all of the kings, both the kings of Judah and the kings of Israel. And so you see them as they go down through there. And then you come to 2 Kings, and we're learning about the king's interactions with the prophets or the men of God, as the Bible calls them. They're not just preachers, but they're the men of God. They're God's men that God has put in the country. And I want to say something real quick. I think it was real interesting that Elisha said he would know after he talked to the king of Israel, after Naaman talked to the king of Israel, that Elisha would come and help him, or Elisha would help him. He didn't have to rent his clothes. Elisha would be willing to help him, and he said that he may know that there is a prophet in the land of Israel. And you go all the way to the New Testament, and you find where Jesus is preaching, and he's talking to the Pharisees, he's preaching to them, and he said there were many lepers in the days of Elias and of Elisha when Elisha preached, and only Naaman the Syrian came into the country to get healed of his leprosy. Sometimes what we need is right in front of us, but we don't recognize it because we don't want to. There were a lot of lepers that could have been healed. There were a lot of people that could have been healed had they just went to the prophet in that time. But as Jesus taught, the prophet has no honor in his own country. Well, I just had to throw that out there. I said this a little while ago, that this may start a series. I don't know. We'll see exactly where we go. But I think there are some lessons that we can learn from the story of Naaman. And I don't think that I have all the time to cover each one of those stories. So I just want to cover one of them tonight out of the first few verses of this chapter that I read to you. And I want to read the first 3 verses again. The Bible says, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper." I believe that that is a well-established fact, that he was a leper. I've said it in the Bible. Of course, we read it in there. But I want to take and pay attention to the things that the Bible says concerning Naaman. One, he was the captain of the host of the king of Syria. This man was not an Israelite. Why is that profound? Because all of the recordings of the kings are pertaining to God's chosen people. But we come to this man who is a Syrian, who doesn't deserve anything. What, none of us in our day and time deserve anything, but in those days and time, God was for the Israelites. The history that we're reading is the Hebrew history. We're not reading American history when we turn the pages of the Bible. Somebody say amen right there. We're not reading about the country of America and what God has done. We're reading, praise God, about the Lord and what He did for His
people, the Israelites, all of those years ago and all of that time ago. And so we see Naaman, who is a Syrian, and God had even used this man to deliver the people of Syria out of trouble. So he was a mighty man of valor, the Bible says. He was an honorable man. He was a good man. And this man was very precious and very valuable to his master. And this man, Naaman, was just a man who could do and accomplish great things. But the Bible says there was something recorded about him, something that was personal, something that was private, something that was underneath the robes, per se, something that was hidden, something that people knew but didn't talk about, and that was this man was a leper. He was a leper. He was someone whose society did not want to be around. Now you go to the Old Testament where the Bible talks about in the book of Leviticus, where it talks about what they were supposed to do with a leper and what a leper was supposed to do. A leper was supposed to walk around and audibly cry out the words, unclean, unclean. Now could you imagine that? You have this spot in your skin, you have this blemish, you have this personal issue going on inside of your body, and instead of walking around and greeting one another and shaking everybody's hand and telling everybody how nice they are and how good it is to see them, you have to walk around because of this blemish that you have, because of something you cannot help, and you say, unclean. You imagine that? You walk up to somebody, you shake their hand. Hey, sister, how you doing? It's the only time I will ever call you sister, ever. This is my wife. Shaking a hand, good to see you. Unclean! You think about that. Walk up. Unclean! Hey, how's it going, man?
You're unclean.
Exactly. You unclean. I don't want to touch you. I don't want anything to do with you. But this man was honorable. This man was in a place of prominence. This man had everything he could ever want in front of God and in front of all Israel and in front of all of Syria. This man had everything going for him except that one issue. And this one issue could likely cost him everything God had given him. Now, had he been a Jew, he would have had to adhere to the Levitical law where he walked around and said unclean, but he wasn't. He was a Syrian. That's why he didn't have to holler out unclean, unclean, because he was a Syrian. He didn't have to follow the Levitical law to be right with God. He didn't know that he was supposed to be right with God. He only knew that he had a condition that he could not prevent, a condition that he could not help, a condition that he could not change, and without some outside source, this condition would ruin his life. That's what we have here with Naaman. That's what we're dealing with. And I think there are some lessons that we can learn from Naaman, or some from lessons that we can learn from the story of Naaman. And so I've read to you verse number one. I'll read to you verse number two. The Bible says, and the Syrians had gone out by the companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. So here's the first lesson from Naaman's life, if I can say it like that. And that is, one, God uses people that the world overlooks. Naaman was prominent. Naaman, for as far as the people were concerned, was a great man. But the Bible records that he had this condition. He had this leprosy. He had this disease, this mark that was on him. And everybody knew who Naaman was. Everybody knew who Naaman's wife was. Everybody knew the great things and the honorable things about Naaman. And consequently, everybody knew that Naaman was a leper. Even the little girl in his house. Even the unnamed captive little girl that had been torn away from her home and brought to this place called Syria, where she was forced into servitude. And instead of her being upset or being belligerent toward the ones who had taken her captive, thank God this little unknown, I'm going to call her a princess. That'd be all right with y'all. This little unknown princess, this little insignificant girl, said the most profound words that Naaman had ever heard. Think of the wise men that Naaman knew. Think of the well-known people, the army leaders that Naaman knew. Think of how he had conversations with the king of Syria and perhaps kings and dignitaries with other lands. And none of them had ever said anything as profound as this little unnamed girl said. She said, "I would to God. Let's just get him to the prophet. Let's just get him to somebody that can help him." I like the little girl that is a captive, unnamed little girl that waited on Naaman's wife. She was a servant to them. She had demonstrated mercy. Here's what I like about the Bible. I'm just going to cut to the chase. We get to see little glimpses and little snapshots of Christ and His character all through the Old Testament of the Bible. And here's one of them. In a little girl that is unnamed in Scripture, and yet she gives mercy to the man, to the family who had done her wrong. Are y'all okay? I don't know if you're soaking it in or if you're getting it or not getting it, but it was helping me this afternoon when I was studying. Amen. This little girl that was overlooked by everybody else. And you know what? We don't read anything about her ever again in the Word of God. We don't find any more about her story in the Word of God. But we find in that one day she looked at Naaman's wife and said these words, "I would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." She put her, after she demonstrated mercy, she put her confidence in the one who knew, who she knew, would save him. When was the last time you knew somebody needed saving? You knew some life needed changing. And you said, "You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tell them about Jesus. I'm going to tell them about the one that can change lives. I'm going to tell them about the man who can get him to God, who can recover him, who can change him, who can make him what he needs to be." And this little girl goes down in history, unnamed, unknown, and yet changed the course of Naaman's life by simply trusting and believing that God and the prophet, through the prophet, would recover him of his leprosy. I'm not sure that I'm conveying this very good. Leprosy was a death sentence. Not only could it rob him of everything he had, but leprosy, there's a reason why sin and leprosy, or leprosy represents or is a type of sin in the Word of God. And here's why: because leprosy destroys from the inside out. Leprosy starts inside and begins to eat and tear and devour from the inside. And then by the time that it shows up on the outside, it is all over the body. By the time, this is why they would have to say unclean. This is why they would have to tell people that they had leprosy. This is why they had to separate themselves out for 7 days before they could come back into the camp if they even saw a spot that resembled leprosy. It wasn't because it was on their skin and it was super contagious, although it is. It was because it was deep embedded inside of them. Sin is the same way for people today. It's deep, it's embedded, and by the time it shows up on the outside, great damage has already happened on the inside. But he was a leper. And this little girl gave mercy, told him where he could get help. And thank God, y'all know the story where he goes down there to get help. And I'm trying not to go too far. I want to focus on this little girl tonight. I think it's pretty amazing. I want to say this. Maybe you're here tonight and you think, man, I'm too small. I'm too young. I'm too insignificant. Nobody knows me. Nobody knows anything about me. It doesn't matter. God knows who you are. Well, this ain't where I want to be in life. It doesn't matter. Just hold on just a little while. Just keep telling people where they can find help. Just keep telling people where they need to go. Just keep pointing people to Calvary. And I believe that God will use you greater than you think. Here's this little girl. You may feel small and insignificant, but God still has the power and the ability to use you. How do you know that, preacher? Well, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Y'all thought I was going to talk about the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, didn't you? Y'all was waiting on me to talk about where Jesus fed the 5,000 and then took up 12 baskets full. Could you imagine if that little fellow there that day hadn't been willing to give up his lunch? I mean, if he'd have been a little egging, he'd have said, no, I got 5 loaves and 2 fishes Mama packed for me today. Y'all ain't getting none of it. I'm hungry. My belly's hurting. But he didn't. He was free to give, and he gave it, and God used it, and little as much when God is in it. Well, what do you mean, preacher? What does being small, what does being insignificant have to do with that? Well, that young man is also unnamed, also small, also insignificant, at least until the 5,000 needed to be fed, and then he was very significant. So what has that got to do with 1 Corinthians 1, where the Bible tells us something about small, insignificant people who think that they can't do anything for God? Verse number 26 says, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." See, the story of Naaman isn't that we highlight Naaman for what God did in Naaman's life. It's all the little outliers that are in that story that had such a great impact on Naaman and his life. Not many noble are called. He didn't call Naaman to go down to the river and to dip himself. He called him to go be what God told him to do. That's what his calling was. And he didn't like it. Verse 27, "But God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no," here's the reason, "that no flesh should glory in his presence." It's not about whether we're big or whether we're small. It is whether or not we are obedient and pliable to the working of the Holy Spirit. If we are not pliable, if we are not moldable, if we're not like the clay, we're not usable. "That no flesh should glory in his presence." We're not going to be able to stand before God and say, "Well, I told somebody about you." We're not going to be able to say, "Well, I told this whole church about you and thousands of people got saved." You're not going to think that way when you're standing before God. You're not going to glory in the flesh in what you've done. Here's what you'll do. Thank you. Because it's not about you. It's about the little insignificant, obedient acts that you do every single day, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Verse number 30, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Jeremiah 9 tells us to glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. Little Esther was put in the lineup, I guess you could say, to be chosen as a queen. Think of all the competition that was there, and God brought that little Israelite girl And the Bible says, and some of you ladies know it because you study it, for such a time as this. God brought her specifically to that place. And thank God for it. I guess what I'm trying to say tonight is that no matter how small or insignificant or insufficient you believe you are, if you are obedient to the Lord, He will use you to accomplish His purpose in His time. That's what it's about, is being willing to be obedient to the Lord. I'm not going to go any further. I knew this one would be kind of short. Next week I'll be short too, but that don't bother y'all. It's Sunday night. I want you to glory in the Lord. I want you to learn these lessons about Naaman or from Naaman's life with me so that we don't lean on ourselves, but we lean on the Lord. Maybe you're thinking, Lord, I'm not strong enough. That's all right. He's got plenty of strength. Lord, I don't have the knowledge. It's okay. He's got all knowledge and wisdom. Lord, I don't have any ability. You're right. Just lean on Him. He's all got all the ability. And He's well able to use you if you'll be obedient unto Him. Father, thank You for tonight. Thank You for allowing me to preach what You laid on my heart. I pray, God, that You will give me wisdom in the coming weeks to know what to do. If You'd have me to come back to this scripture, come back to this story. Lord, whatever You will, I pray, God, that I would be willing to do it and be obedient to You. Lord, I pray that if there be anyone under the sound of my voice tonight that needs to settle some things with You, needs to reckon themselves obedient to You, God, I pray that You would move in this church service tonight. God, I thank You for what You've done. I thank You for what You're doing. And I know, Lord, that You will continue to do more. God, have Your will. Lord, have Your way. Help us, Lord. Help Your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Would you stand with us tonight while we sing?